Well, this morning we're taking a break from our usual series in the book of Matthew, and we're reading from John's Gospel today and looking at it more closely together. And that is because today is a special occasion in the life of Des Moines Baptist Church in that we are seeing today the baptism of Pierre Sassin amongst us. But why is Pierre being baptized? Why are we celebrating today? Why are we having this baptismal service? Why does any Christian get baptized? Well, there are many reasons as to why someone would want to get baptized. And all of them point to the fact that something has happened in the person that is being baptized, that something has happened in Pierre, that there's a change that has come upon him, and something different. There's something different now about Pierre. And what is it that has happened? Well, Jesus explains what happens and what has happened to Pierre and what has happened to every Christian and what has happened to the disciples of many years ago with this illustration that is given to us in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, we have this illustration of a vine and a gardener that is given to us. Verse 1 opens with, "I," that's Jesus, "am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." What is Jesus in the illustration? He is the vine. And who is the gardener? Well, it is God the Father. And who are Christians then in this illustration of a vine with a gardener? Well, they are the branches, and we see that in verse 5. Verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." So we have this illustration of the Christian life where we have Jesus as the vine, we have the Father as the gardener, and we have the Christians as the branches as part of the vine. And what are the Christians supposed to do then? Well, the Christians are supposed to bear fruit. We see that in verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." What is the purpose of a Christian once he is united with Christ in the vine? It is to bear fruit. And what is the fruit that the Christian is supposed to bear? Well, we get again and again in the text that love is a main idea of Jesus here as to what a Christian is supposed to do. We see that in verse 12. Verse 12 of John chapter 15, it says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." And down in verse 17, "This is my command, love each other." This is the primary fruit that the Christian is supposed to produce. It's meant to be love. And we know this because when we consider all of God's commands, they're summed up with love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So the Christian is supposed to bear this fruit of love. Love for who? Love for God, and love for his fellow humans. But how do they produce fruit? It's hard to love God. It's hard to love others, particularly those who are unlovable in our minds often towards us. How do we show love even to our enemies? Well, we are told how it's possible. It's by being in Jesus. It's by being in Jesus. And we see that in verse 4 and 5, that it's through Jesus that alone that we can bear fruit. Verse 4 says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." The only way we can show love to people and love to God rather than hatred toward God or hatred to people is by Jesus Christ. It's by being in him. But how do we remain in Jesus? We must be a part of Jesus. We must unite with him, and we must remain united with him if we are to bear love as we are supposed to. But how do we remain in Jesus? Well, verse 7 actually gives us the clue. Verse 7 says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." How do we remain in Jesus? It's by his word. It's how we get into Jesus in the first place. How we are united with the vine, it is by his words. And we even see that in verse 3. Verse 3, it says, he's speaking to his disciples and he says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." You are already part of the vine. You're already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Christ's word, when he speaks to unbelievers who are outside the vine, when he speaks to them and they believe it and hear it, they are united with him. There's this mystical union that takes place where they are united with Christ and begin to bear fruit as a result of the word uniting them to Christ. This is the wonderful thing. The word there that it says you are already clean, it's this idea of pruning as well that's there in verse 2, where we see that there's this pruning action of God. And so we think of a a plant, when you want to clean it up, you prune it. You take off all the bits that are unfruitful and you make it tidy. And that's the idea is what has happened to the Christian, that when he hears the word of God, he is cleansed of his untidy bits, his unfruitful parts. And what is that? It's his sinful parts. It's his sin that he has committed. That as he hears the word of Jesus, he hears about the death of the Lord Jesus and his blood shed for sinners, what happens? He believes as the Holy Spirit works upon his heart. If he is a Christian, he believes and then he is cleansed of his sin. And so he's cleansed by the word. And then as he continues to remain in the word, what happens? He continues to produce fruit. That this fruit starts to happen as he remains. How does the fruit happen? By reading the Bible. How does fruit of love come out? Well, the Bible encourages a desire to love God, a desire to love your neighbour, and actually gives you the strength to do so. As you see the promises and the warnings that are given in Scripture, it encourages you to produce that love that you're supposed to do. And so how are we to produce fruit as Christians? It is by remaining in Christ. Because apart from him, you can do nothing. And how do we remain in Christ? It's by his word. It's how we get into Christ, and it's how we remain in Christ and then produce fruit. And what is the result of all this bearing of fruit? What's the purpose of it? Why should we bother loving God and loving our neighbour? Well, it gives glory to God. It gives glory to God, which is our purpose. Verse 8 says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." What is the purpose of mankind? It is to give glory to God. And how do we give glory to God? It's by bearing much fruit, it says there in verse 8. As we love others, it gives glory to God to work in our hearts, to do the thing that we couldn't do ourselves. Apart from him, we couldn't love him. Apart from him, we couldn't love our neighbour. But because of him, the gardener, and because of the vine that sustains us, we are actually able to do the impossible. We're able to love God and love others. And what's another result that comes from this? We give glory to God. What's another result? The second one, the first is give glory to God. The second is that we have joy ourselves. We have joy ourselves in serving God with the eternal life that he gives. And we see this in verse 11. Why is Jesus telling his disciples this? Well, he tells us in verse 11, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." What is the result of bearing fruit? It's joy. As you love God, there's a joy in your heart. As you love your neighbour, as you see love being produced in you for others, there's a joy in that love that is being poured out through you by God. So why is Pierre being baptised today? Because Pierre is now a branch. He is now a branch in the true vine that is Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Pierre now dwells in Jesus. He dwells in Christ Jesus. And how do we know that he dwells in Christ Jesus? It's because Pierre has started to produce fruit. What fruit has he produced? Love. Love for who? Love for God. That's what we see in Pierre now. We see a love for God. If you've talked to Pierre lately, you know that he loves to talk about God. And if you knew Pierre previously, he was not so interested in talking about God. But now he loves God. And even his baptism today is an act of love for God. That is part of the reason he is being baptized today. Why is it an act of love for him to be baptized? Well, God has commanded his people to be baptized. And so out of obedience and love for God, he then follows that command to be baptized. And it's also not just an act of love for God, but it's also an act of love for others, for his neighbor. To be baptized is a way that Pierre can tell people that this is the way of salvation. I was once unclean, but I have found the way to be clean. It's by the precious blood of Christ. And by being baptized, I'm proclaiming that to you as well. By being baptized, he's proclaiming to everyone in the room that dirty people can be clean. I was once dirty, now I am clean. And it's all because of Christ and his death for me. And so Pierre is showing love today, love for God and love for neighbour. And that is why he is being baptised. But then what is the root cause of Pierre being baptised then? Well, of course, it's God, God the gardener, and Jesus the vine, and the Spirit who has grafted Pierre into the true vine, which is Jesus. But what did God use? What did God use to bring Pierre into the vine and produce fruit in Pierre? Well, what did I say before? It's his word. It's his word that causes people to get into the vine, and it's his word that causes people to continue to remain in the vine and to produce that fruit. How did Pierre become clean? It was by hearing the word of God. By hearing the word of God, Pierre heard about Christ Jesus. He heard about the death of the Lord Jesus for sinners. And Pierre not only heard, he followed the command to repent and believe so that he would know the forgiveness of sins as well. And when Pierre did that, when he repented of his sins, when he trusted in Christ Jesus, he was cleansed of his sins by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And how does then Pierre continue to remain clean? Well, it's by remaining in Christ's word. Remaining in Christ's word. And when you speak to Pierre, he has a love for the scriptures. He has a love now. He had a love for the scriptures when he was first learning about God, but he continues to have a love for the scriptures. He continues to remain in the scriptures. He loves to read them. He loves to pray them. He loves to hear them sung. He has a list in his phone of all his favourite passages from the Bible. If you ask him afterwards, he'd be more than happy to show you the different verses that he loves from the Bible. He carries them around with him in his pocket and reminds himself of those verses. When he's distressed about things, when he's joyful about things, he looks at those verses and they are a blessing to him. He's remaining in the Word. And so what does that mean? Pierre continues to produce fruit, love for God and love for his fellow man. Including the word has driven him to be baptized today. And what is the result then of Pierre's baptism? Glory for God. Glory for God the gardener. Glory for God the vine. And glory for God the Holy Spirit who has brought Pierre into that vine. And what is the other result? What did I say before? There's two results. There's the glory for God and there's also joy for the individual. And that is the case for Pierre as well. He is so happy. He's a bit nervous, I think, today, but he's also very excited. This is a joyful day for him, and he's rejoicing in it. So the question then, we've been looking at Pierre and why he is being baptized. What about you? Are you with Pierre as branches in the vine that is Jesus Christ? How do you know that you are? How do you know you're one of Christ's disciples? Well, do you have fruit of love for God and love for your fellow men? This is what's said in verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We've been looking at Pierre and whether he's a disciple of God. But what about you? Are you a disciple of God? Why is fruit the test? Well, because without Christ, you cannot produce the fruit of love. Verse 4 says, remain in me and I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. If you want to know if someone's a Christian, there's an easy test. Are they producing the fruit of love? Because if they're in Christ, they will be. But if they're not in Christ, they won't be. And so this is the test that you need to consider for yourself. Am I a branch in the vine along with Pierre and all other believers? But why does it matter? Why does it matter whether you're in the branch, a branch in the vine? Why does it matter if you're producing fruit, the fruit of love? Well, Jesus warns what happens to those who do not produce fruit. He warns very clearly what happens. What happens? They wither and are thrown into the fire of hell to be burned. We see that very clearly in verse 6. Verse 6 of John chapter 15 says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Very clear teaching from the Lord Jesus as to what happens to those who are not loving, who do not love God, who do not love their neighbour, who are not part of Christ as the true vine. They're picked up and burned in hell. And this illustration is so helpful for us because it is so true that this is how gardening works. My daughter had a birthday last month, and it's become a bit of a tradition now for me to give my daughter flowers on her birthday. She actually reminds me now, so it's no longer a surprise. A couple of days out beforehand, says, you know, I'm not too old to get flowers still on my birthday, Dad. And so I've been buying her flowers for a few years now. And this year, I made a real effort to make sure that they would last as long as they possibly could, because I'm always a bit reluctant to buy flowers because they just seem like a bit of a waste of money as to what happens to them eventually. And so I made a real effort this year to make sure that the flowers would last as long as possible. And some of them were still in the bud when I bought them. So you had some flowers that had come out of the bud, but there were some still in the bud. And I wanted to get those ones in the bud out. So what did I do? Well, I got on the internet and found out some ways that you can keep flowers going as long as possible in a vase as you can. And what is one way? Well, you add white vinegar. Why do you put vinegar in? Because it actually prevents bacteria from eating away at the stems of the plant, of the flowers. And so it slows down the death by putting this white vinegar in the water. But what else did we do? Well, we added sugar to the vase as well. Why sugar? Because sugar will nourish the flowers so they continue to bloom, and hopefully those ones in the bud will come out. So we want to stop bacterial growth with the vinegar, and we want to increase growth of the flower by adding sugar. And it worked somewhat better than what has happened in previous years where we just popped them in water. Some in the bud did come out, and some of the flowers seemed to last a lot longer than they would have previously. But the ones that were in the bud and came out, they were pale compared to the ones that were already blooming when we first bought them. They were red flowers, but the ones that came out of the buds were kind of pinkish. They didn't have that same glossy red look of the ones that were there initially. And what eventually happened? Well, the flowers all withered. They all died. And none of them ever produced fruit, which is ultimately what a flower is meant to do. It's meant to then turn into fruit after it has been, bees have come and pollinated it. And why was it that they all died? Well, it's because they were no longer part of the mother plant. They were no longer part of the mother plant. They'd been cut off. And then what happened to those dead flowers? We took them out of the vase and we put them in the bin. That's what we did with dead flowers. And sadly, there are many people in this world who are like flowers that have been cut off from the mother plant. They may look like they're alive. They may seem loving towards God and towards their fellow man. But what's really happening? They're surviving on vinegar and sugar. How are they surviving on vinegar? Well, what's vinegar doing? It stops the bacterial growth. And that's what many things in this world are there to help us somewhat to stop the sin that grows in our hearts. What am I talking about? The laws in society. We have laws in our society that are there to help stop the bacterial growth, the sin in our hearts. And effectively, it's just vinegar that is having a temporary effect. And it does have an effect. I once knew a man, I think he's dead now, I've lost contact with him, but he hated his ex-wife. He hated his ex-wife so much that he actually made serious inquiries with a police officer as to how many years he would get if he murdered her. He really wanted to kill his ex-wife. And what stopped him? The vinegar of the law of society. He didn't murder her because he felt that she wasn't worth murdering with the amount of prison time that he'd have to serve. But he seriously contemplated it. If that law hadn't been there, if the prison time hadn't been there, he may have gone through with it. But vinegar prevented him from hating his wife to the point where he would kill her, actually physically kill her. And that's one way that people survive on vinegar in society. They look loving, but it's really just certain laws in a society, cultural laws that are here, that help prevent them from really hating their enemy. And what else are such people surviving on? Well, they're surviving on sugar. They're actually producing love. They're stopping hate by some sort of vinegar, but they're also producing some love, but it's really just a sugary love. What would be an example of that? Well, it's the feel-good feelings that we get, the good feelings we have when we do something nice for somebody else. There's in our hearts comes up something, oh, look what I did for that person. And there's a nice feeling about it. And so that encourages us to keep on doing such acts of love. But what's the problem? The fruit, the love that people show from sugar and from a bit of vinegar stopping the decay, it's really just a pale flower of love. It's very pale. And if they have a love for God, it's a pale love for God as well. What is it not? It's not the rich, constant love that you see from Christians, the persevering love that continues despite the hardships that are there. That there's this constant love for God and a constant love for neighbor that continues on. We don't see this with such people. And what happens to such people? Well, they do die. They may slow their death down by a bit of vinegar and by a bit of sugar, but eventually they do die. And what happens to those cut flowers? Well, they do die and they are cast into hell by the gardener. Like a gardener clearing his vineyard, that is what happens to such people. And this illustration that Jesus gives is an old illustration. It's something that is consistent with the rest of Scripture. We saw it in Jeremiah chapter 17, that passage that we had read for us before. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, it says, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." This is the man who trusts in God, whose confidence is in God. He never fails to bear fruit. And it's also taught for us in Psalm 1. Turn with me now to Psalm 1. It's a classic passage, a classic example, page 532 if you have a church Bible. It's really a very good summary of the whole of the Bible and the whole of the book of Psalms. If you want to know what the Bible is all about, then Psalm 1 is a very good place to start. Psalm 1, page 532. Psalm 1, reading from verse 1, page 532 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." What do we see in this passage in Psalm chapter 1? Echoes of what we see in John chapter 15, that there's two types of people. And there's two consequences. There is the man who does not sin but trusts in God and delights in God's word, delights in the law of the Lord. He meditates upon it day and night. And what happens to him? He yields fruit in season and his leaf does not wither. And what's the second type of person that's in the passage? Well, it's the fruitless wicked. And what happens to them? They are like chaff that the wind blows away. These are the two types of people we see in this world. Those who trust in God, delight in his word, and produce fruit of love, and then those who are wicked, who do not produce the fruit of love, and who are swept away in the judgment of God. So which are you? Are you a fruitful branch drawing from God's word? Or are you chaff that the wind blows away? Are you producing love in your life? But it's only by vinegar and by a bit of sugar. Won't you realize, if that is you, that you're a dying flower and your fruit will not last? Become part of the true vine. Become part of the true vine. Why? It's the only way. It's the only way to produce fruit and to live forever. Because apart from the vine, you can do nothing. Is what John 15 says. You can do nothing. And if you do not become part of the true vine, what will happen to you? Like a dead flower, you'll be burnt in the fire. You'll be taken out of the vase of this world and be burnt in the fire. But how can you bear fruit? How can you be part of the true vine and live? Well, do what Pierre and every other true Christian has done. What is that? Listen to Christ's word. Listen to Christ's word and believe them for yourself by the power of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you, get a Bible and start reading it, because the Bible is the only way that you can become part of the vine and be nourished as branches by the vine. You don't have to tell anyone at first. Get a Bible, you can start reading online, or you can find one that you've got on a shelf somewhere. Start reading it. And start believing what you read. Start believing that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the true vine, that there is a heaven and a hell, that there is a judgment to come. And believe that only in Jesus Christ that you will be saved. That only by his blood your sins can be washed away so that you are clean before the holy God. Ask God to graft you into his vine by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you do that, what will happen? What will Christ do? He will clean away your sin. He will clean away the disease that has been eating away at your life, which is your sin. He will clean it away, he'll prune it off, and he will give you eternal life. And what else will happen to you? You will start to bear real loving fruit, a constant loving fruit for God and for your neighbour. How? By remaining in the Word. Don't start reading the Bible, believe it, and then stop. No, remain in his word. That's what he tells us in John chapter 15. Remain in me and my words remain in you. Remain in the word and remain in Christ Jesus. And you will nourish that love that has begun in your heart for God and for your neighbor. And what will the result be ultimately for you and all those who remain in God's word, for all of us Christians who have heard the word and loved the Lord Jesus as a result and believed in him? Well, there's joy for us. There's a joy in our hearts as we produce love with the eternal life that Christ is giving us, love for God and love for our neighbor. There's a vitality in the Christian. Though outwardly we are wasting away, our bodies are decaying over time. I see this with my own self. It's starting. My body is going through changes as I get older, and not all of them are the best. But inwardly, God promises that I'm being renewed day by day. There's a vitality, there's a light within the Christian that is not extinguished, that continues because he is a branch in that vine that is nourishing him, even as outwardly he is wasting away. And what is the other result? What is the other result that we see? Not just joy for the Christian, but we see glory for God. If you remain in God's word, you remain in Christ Jesus, then you give glory to the gardener, you give glory to the vine who nourishes you, and you give glory to the Holy Spirit who has grafted you into the vine so that you have that everlasting life that produces fruit for God, and love for neighbor. Let's come to God in prayer. Let's speak with him now. Let's pray to God. Heavenly Father, we praise you as the great gardener, and we praise the Lord Jesus as the true vine. Lord, we come before you and we confess that we have often been unfruitful, that we have not loved you and our neighbour as we should, and so we deserve to be burned in hell. But Lord, we thank you for speaking to many of us, so that by the Spirit we have believed and are now part of the true vine. We've been cleansed of our sins. But Lord, we ask that you would help us by the Spirit to remain in your word, so we continue to be cleansed of our sin each day and produce loving fruit, love for you and love for our neighbour. And Lord, if there is anyone here this morning who is not dwelling in Jesus Christ, may they hear his words now and believe in them and be cleansed by his blood and start to produce loving fruit and live forever in Christ Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.